Have you been to your bank lately?
What bank do you go to?
Glenview State Bank, but it's the one in Mount Prospect, not in Glenview.
It's funny, I was just going to that Glenview State Bank.
You would not, you lying sack of crap. You did no such thing.
The one in Glenview or the one in Mount Prospect?
Because
it's kind of confusing.
He did neither, and you know it. I am stopping this now. Welcome to Dragon's Blow TCast, where we have no time for jokes. I am the T-Man.
This is a no-fun zone.
This is anime and tea. I don't see smiles in that terminology. No. That phrase? That title. I don't see smiles in that title. So, me being the T-Man, who are you, Nick?
I'm Nick.
Also known as the T-Fellow.
Also unique. Spelled funny.
Apparently, apparently very funny, yeah.
I'm the T-Guy.
Yep. And so, today...
I haven't seen you guys in a while.
Because we've been busy.
That's nice.
We've been busy with... John?
I'm taking my tea.
The Houston Tea Fest. You see what I mean? With no smiles, no laughing. So, last week was the Houston...
I see what you mean.
Yeah. Was the Houston Tea Fest, and it was quite a thing. Well, before we begin with that, right now we're drinking not one of our teas, though it could be, drinking a couple of samples we got. So what is in this tea, Nick?
Let me taste it.
It's also written on the package.
I'm going to taste it and find out. Tastes like berries. I got a little bit of strawberry, cherry, cranberry.
Maybe. Let's... John, what do you find?
I find that the taste isn't nearly as loud as the smell. I was clear across the room when we were brewing this, and like 3 seconds after the water hit, it filled the room with this wonderful smell. And I'm actually kind of glad because there's this the only time that I've had there's only two teas that have it smell this loud. One of them is candied almond, which smells wonderful, but tastes meh. And the other one that I was afraid of, because it had a sort of similar fruity flavor to it, was the strawberry, which just, like, curdles on the tongue. This one, it's clean, but, yeah, this would be a really, really good iced tea. Because when the tea first hits your palate, the flavor isn't that strong, and then it builds. I get more of it in the aftertaste.
Mm-hmm.
So adding a little bit of sugar would hit up that first sip, the first moment.
So looking at the package,
pear definitely.
Yeah, I missed that completely. That one's subtle though. You need a pretty refined palate for that, and you've got that. Oh. It's organic cranberry pear smash. And it's actually a green and a white tea.
Ooh.
Which,
it's a great tea?
Sure. We'll call it that.
What a green tea.
It's not yellow.
Let's go with queen.
What do you call a black and blue tea?
Beaten.
I'm not gonna make the joke.
What happened no place for jokes?
What happens? We go to domestic violence.
Who said it was domestic?
He did.
Apple, rose hips, organic peel, orange peel. This is an organic tea, by the way. Orange peel, elderberries. Currants, which is probably where I got one of those other flavors that isn't in here from.
Mm-hmm.
Cranberries, which is the main flavor. Pear, pomegranate, which is kind of unusual. Pomegranate and cranberry go well. And vanilla. So yeah. Pear and on. Pear and cranberry. Yeah, a lot of flavors, a lot of like subtle sort of accentuation ingredients.
As I'm drinking, I've now gone through about quarter of a cup. It's really good. It's growing on me, and this is really weird in the sense that it's not growing. Like a lot of teas, like especially in my Sencha, like the longer, the more you drink it, the more it builds up on your tongue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this one, it's leaving behind this sort of dry mouthfeel, which is actually very pleasant. And as I'm drinking it, usually the dry mouthfeel opens up the pores on your tongue. And so you get, you know, more and more of the flavor. This is staying nice and light and beautiful.
Right. So, last week at the Houston Tea Fest, and that was quite the adventure. Do you want to begin talking, John, or...
We're starting after the Tea Fest, or what? No, it's like last week after the Tea Fest.
No, at the Tea Fest.
Before the Tea Fest.
Before the Tea Fest, geez.
I was not able to go because of reasons.
Yeah.
Which sucked because you guys are probably busy the whole time, right?
Yes.
Yeah. It sucked, but
so
at the
I'm
same
a,
time...
I'm about to hear the story live with everybody else.
Yeah, so... It flash forward, we're just going all over the place in time. It wound up really working out because we didn't get quite the space that we're used to. So flash back again. Remember months ago we told you people that the university that the Texas Tea Fest was at reneged on their obligation on contract.
They're booking.
They're booking, yeah. Leaving just a few months for these people to find another venue. And for those of you that haven't been in the Houston area on the outskirts, I mean, they have some spaces, but not for the price of a university. So they scrambled, and what I assume happened was that they held it at the Hilton, which we stayed at, which I've never stayed at a Hilton before, so my blood is still thinning back out. But I think they gave him the square footage of the room, which was not square.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. There are these big old round pillars in there, and then there were two doors, a main door and a sort of back-ish door on the same side as the restaurant. And it was a very funny shaped room. And so as soon as they saw the room, they told us that we wouldn't be getting the space that we had originally signed up for. Unless we had a lot of stuff, which we did. But yeah.
So did you get the space that you signed up for?
Still no, but we got closer than a lot of people.
Other people had smaller spaces.
Yes.
Oh,
very
wow.
Much so. But
because I saw some pictures.
Yeah.
And it was small.
It was small, but there were a few people. Like there was an insurance company that showed up to this Houston Tea Festival.
Why?
I don't know, but they didn't get a big space.
Good,
right?
Like if it was up to me, I'd just say like, okay, this is a place for tea. Get out. But,
yeah,
you know they're paying for it, so
exactly. They're like, here, take my money. And they're just like, well, I mean, we'll give you one of the small tables. They're like, we don't care. And they just sat there. And I don't think I think they talked to like three people.
Why?
They just put
pamphlets
out because they wanted to drink tea for a day. I don't know.
Probably for the same reason we see those like, come to this college at ASIN and whatnot. We always see.
I haven't seen that.
You haven't?
No.
They have booths in which there's people which like have no place at ASIN.
Is it like Japan College or something?
No,
or like affiliated with one of those
like Kansas.
Like Roosevelt University.
Mm-hmm. But is it affiliated with like
no. Whatever you say, it'll be a no.
I was gonna say like, you know, go teach in Japan, teach English in Japan for a year.
Nope.
They probably have some students that, you know, whose ancestors came from Japan, but I think that's as close as the association gets. Of course, Harper had a thing where you could study in Japan, so I'm sure that
yeah, all
a lot of colleges
do.
Yeah, would have that, but it's not. It's not like
it's not just Japan. It's not just Japan. It's you know, Germany, all over the place. Yeah. I almost took a class in Amsterdam or something for a
class. Eunuch.
Eunuch.
So there were a lot of people there. We I think we both, but I definitely worked right before we left, and my boss was like, "Hey, you know, I know you got a long drive. You can leave early," which was pretty cool. And so, unbeknownst to anybody here, I ordered a Triwizard cup, and it hadn't come in. And I'm like, "Well, it's fine because I'll just have the Triwizard cup as like you know a token to myself for all the work I put into the goblet." And so, I took a shower. And I was sort of, you know, it was supposed to arrive the day before. It didn't. And they said it was going to arrive at, like, 8 p.m. that night. And so I'm still like, well, it might come in. And so, I took a shower. I ate. We rounded up everything. And just as we're pulling up, FedEx pulls up. I'm like, really? And then the guy comes out of the FedEx truck and looks at my house. I'm like, maybe? And then he grabs a package that was suspiciously Triwizard sized. And I'm like, oh, really? And then he starts walking toward my house. And I said, perfect timing. And I grabbed it from him. And I said, Julian, I have a big package.
Wasn't that big?
Very, very good.
It was a big package.
Good. I receive packages of tea like the size of my
torso. I'm not talking about tea. I'm talking about my penis. So anyway, I put that in the car and didn't say anything else about it.
The penis or?
Yes. Everything went in that car.
No, he left it at home to save space for the weekend.
Mm-hmm. I unscrewed it. So I left it. anyway, so yeah, so we got in the car and I was able to drive the entire way to Texas off my bucket list. I really wanted to. That was a 26-hour day with work included.
Oh my god!
Yeah, and so we got there and the Hilton actually let us check in like 4 hours early.
Something like that.
Some crazy thing.
No, even because check-in time was 4 p.m. We got like 8.
Yeah, no, it was like it was like 10. It was like 9:30 at least. But yeah, they let us check in that early.
That's before checkout time.
Yeah.
And we pretty much just grabbed our suitcases, went up to the room, and I remember laying down, and then it was 2 hours later, and we got up. Actually, it was like 3 hours later. We got up with enough time to, I think we ate.
Uh-huh.
And then we were supposed to start setting up at 7. And so at 4:30, we figured, let's keep this train rolling. We went into the room, and they were setting up, and they said, we can start setting up, and so we started at 5. And we were the first in there setting up. We took up, like, 3/4 of the space, like, legitimately. We had boxes, like, 4 tables down. it were everywhere. And instead of an 8x8, we had, like, a 5x6 space to work with, maybe, would you say?
Something like that, and no space between the wall and the table.
I'm including that.
Oh, you're including that.
Yeah,
then.
Our table, so we had about...
Wall to edge of table, to front edge of table.
Because we got 2 tables, because the tables were about 3 feet, 2 feet. You're about 2 feet wide.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got two tables to make it you? 4 feet. Yeah. So we had enough to put stuff on, because we were... we were supposed to have a 4x8 foot table, 4x6 foot table,
6x something.
6x4 or 3. They were like 5x2, and so we got 2 tables.
So was it like the size of my desk?
No. Well, for those of you at home, I'm going to say yes. it was a
very,
little
very
than the
helpful.
Desk. And luckily, I mean, the ladies that did it were very, like, accommodating. We got the corner, so we got to spread out quite a bit, which was really lucky. And then about 2 hours after we started setting up, our neighbors, the English ladies, came in. And
rivals, as I proclaimed.
Yeah, he did proclaim it.
You're not shy about doing that.
No.
You'll do that to anyone.
So, for those of you at home...
Later story.
For those of you at home, when these people showed up, I did not say he told them that we were our rivals. I did not say he said that they were our rivals. He proclaimed. English ladies, we are the east side of tea. They are the west. Let there be war between us. Was something like that. It was not exactly that, but something like that.
They were confused, so I assume we won.
They were very confused. excuse me. And
be gone, wench.
So we were. It took us. We were the last ones out. We set up until like 10 o'clock at night.
Oh man!
So it was like 5 hours of us getting stuff out of the.
Well, yeah, boxes. that's probably what it took last time.
I also had to go to Goodwill to buy two new tables,
which were underutilized at best.
Yeah,
like we did almost nothing with them, but they were there. But yeah, we usually have enough room to set up all of the teas and display them, and people can go through them and they knock them down, and it's lots of fun.
Yay!
Yes, we had no space to display any of our teas that were not house teas. So that was what he got the tables for.
The Harry Potter themed teas.
Yes.
Right, right. The Harry Potter themed
not
teas.
Not the Dragon's Treasure House specials.
Oh, right, right. Yeah, because it was Harry Potter themed, for those of you that didn't know, which was awesome. I dressed up as a Hufflepuff. And so we set up as many as we could on the table. We wound up laying them down, and a few people bought from that, but I think we were able to get only about 15 or so out in the tables.
Yeah, it was small.
There was like no teas displayed. We had price lists and things, and we set up everything else, but being next to the English ladies was really neat because they came and they were super reserved. I think that they spilled outside of their table once while they were decorating, where they had a couple boxes out in front, and they stacked those boxes so that they would finish unpacking the first box, and they would put that away. And they finished unpacking the second box, and they put that away. Right next door, there was the east side of tea, where we went into the first box, and we got
the
one
manifestation
thing.
Of chaos.
Yes, oh my gosh, we were. We probably took up about 20 feet. I mean, like, at least, just scattered everywhere. And we went into each box like 40 times for three things, and it was nuts. But then they set up their display, and it was, I thought it was Diagon Alley. They had a brick background, but it was supposed to be King's Cross Station, which was also cool. They had a picture of a couple of the characters, Dumbledore's brother, Albathor.
Aberforth.
Sure.
Aberforth Dumbledore. You're going to get beat up.
And their sister, Emily. I forget, what was their sister's name? It was like Rose or something.
Ariana,
okay. Then there was Gilderoy Lockhart in a golden framed picture. Then they had someone looking. But anyways, it was they set it all up, and it was just like you would expect an English display. Like, it was very... It was very appealing to look at, but you couldn't touch. Look, don't touch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Much like me.
No. Well, for your health, yes. And then right next door, set up this...
no one does.
We set up a pyramid of tea wares that every single person that came by had to move at least one thing. We didn't tell them to do this, but they did. And we did color-changing mugs up on top.
It's important to note that we spent about 4 hours meticulously building this pyramid. And, okay, we'll have this thing here, and we'll have them mirrored right next to each other. And
it never lasted.
Okay, this thing should be next to this thing because of reasons, and this will be over here, and these colors match, so we'll put them together, and these things are all masculine, so they'll be over here, and these are all feminine, so they'll be over here.
It was very well thought out. I think I went up there about every half an hour to sort of re-straighten them, give or take. Because, I mean, some of it wasn't bad. Actually, I kept some of the changes. And right in the front, we held the house cup crystals, which we were able to keep on between the two of us really well. Like, we just did it every transaction. It was actually very easy to do.
That's impressive.
I think it was pretty easy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It just, bam, bam.
That's good, because I was thinking that would be the hardest part of the thing
and,
to keep track of.
What was better was because they were kind of hourglass-shaped, nobody, like, there were a couple people that tried to do some shenanigans where they tried to steal crystals.
No, you have to pay for that.
Yeah, you did. and they couldn't do it. So even the people we gave special permission, because they got the big butterbeers, to take a crystal out and put it wherever they wanted, like, uh-huh. Go ahead. We watched them. And they couldn't do it. Like, you know, it just took them, like, about 30 seconds, because they tried to reach in with their finger, and it was just to the point where they couldn't reach, and then they turned it upside down, and, you know, the brothers hold, and they would stay, you know, all together, hold, and then they would all come out at once, and it was chaos. But anyways, yeah, that worked out. I every 2 hours would count those, and so that will lead me into a story. Another story. People got into it. Like, Ravenclaws especially. There were more Ravenclaw cosplays than any other cosplay, by far.
Really?
Ravenclaws.
Seriously.
That's weird.
Though, there were more Gryffindor fans. So, a lot of people that weren't in cosplay, they were generally Gryffindors.
That's the default.
Yes. And one of my favorite things, this only has a little story attached to it, was, so for the first, like, hour, Julian was obsessed with telling everybody every in and out of our point system. And so, like moms came up and they're just like, oh, look, T. And he's like, and every purchase goes to a house. Now, if you buy a butterbeer, a small, you can remove a crystal from a house. If you buy, and they're just like, you know, they checked out. So that stopped.
You just, like, see the attention, yes, draining from them.
Well, it's what I always see when I go on dates, so I assume that that's a good thing.
No.
No?
No. But luckily, eventually, he got tired, I think, or something. So what we started to do is we're just like, hey, you want any tea? We offered samples, and people, they're tea lovers, they enjoyed that. And after they, so a lot of, especially for the elderly, there were a lot of, like, 60 to 70-year-olds.
Uh-huh.
Once they decided to make a purchase, that they got to contribute to a house, you got to see a little bit of their inner child. And there's this one old woman that stands out to me that I told, you know, she picked out her tea. We made a couple samples for her, I think. And then I said, hey, you get to add 20 points to any house you want. And she goes, what? You did add 20 points? And she sort of put her head down a little bit, and this, like, little childlike grin smile came on her face. And then she pointed ever so shyly over to Gryffindor. Because she didn't know how to be a kid anymore, but
right,
she felt
right.
it.
Yeah.
And it was just like, that was one of the highlights of the whole convention for me, you know. And I got to see it with especially the mothers and the adults.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't quite know how to commit to it, but they felt like
I'm not allowed to play this game, but I will.
Yes, but I am. I'm being forced
to.
Oh,
I have to.
Well,
I guess if I have to choose one, Gryffindor.
Yes, if I have to choose Gryffindor, Gryffindor all the way. Rah, rah! So we kept that running total for the days, and I updated that on the board. And Ravenclaws, they played the part. They were, first of all, almost all cosplayed, and then second of all, they were doing, like, calculations. Like, they, you know, they're like, all right, if we get a small butterbeer, we can take it from Gryffindor, and if we get a large butterbeer, we can take it from Slytherin, because screw those guys. And they won. They, you know, flash forward. So we were also lucky because like I said, the space wasn't squared. And so they had anticipated a big square space, I guess, when they did their calculations for the spaces. And one of the problems that you don't accommodate for if you've never been to, like, a big old convention or hosted it was, okay, sure, the vendors are going to have less space. We can sort of, you know, and they fudge that pretty well. But then what do you do with the people? Because you can only make the alleyways for them to walk so small.
Yeah.
So what they did, this is real smart. They, we were at a corner behind us and so to our right and behind us was a stage. And so they had this place for people to gather, and it sort of like sucked people over there from time to time, which would open up the booths, so people would be able to, you know, be free to go about the booths. And it circulated the people really well. And people wouldn't stay for the whole show generally. They would stay for a few, like an act or a few minutes, and then they would turn. It was perfect. It regulated the crowd just perfectly. And it, being by the stage really helped us because we were right next to the, where everyone was getting pulled for. So thank you, Texas Tea Fest. They had this one troupe that was fantastic. They were real showmen. Like, as someone that has studied stagecraft and showmanship, these guys were spot on. So, like, the first guy, he won me over because he read the crowd. You could tell he changed his act every single time he was in front of a crowd. And he found out early that they liked the dangerous stuff. And so he's just like, all right, now you get to choose my next trick. I can do this really awesome, super cool trick with these rings, high-flying, or I can juggle knives. And so people, ooh, and so he's all right, so by a round of applause, who wants me to see the really cool, one-of-a-kind, amazing trick with the rings? And like one person. And who wants to see me juggle knives? Whoa! And he's like, okay, fine. And so I'm just chuckling as I'm doing my work. The same group had a magician that came in the next day, who was equally captivating. He was just like one-liners as he's doing his tricks. But then we had the flower children.
Is that what you're calling them now?
That's what I'm calling them. These guys were straight out of a 1970s stereotype, rewritten for modern era. I'm not even making fun of them. Legitimately, they had one song that they played, and they broke it up a couple times, but every single... The entire hour that they were up there, it was just that metal drum. Bong, 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 bong. And Shiva, 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 Shiva. For an hour, they did this.
They almost awaken Shiva to make him slap him.
they paused only once, and they had a microphone, which they weren't using. That becomes important in a moment. And he stopped to pick up the microphone, and he put it close, and he was just like, I want to take this time to address all the aliens that can hear the sound of my voice. And I stopped for a second. I'm just like, because he didn't mean Mexicans. And it was just like, oh my god. And then I had to go back to doing what I was doing.
I completely missed it. And if I caught that, that was another thing which if I caught, I would have caused
trouble. So again, they were doing no microphone until that point. And so it came time for me to... I updated the board every 2 hours. And I wanted to do it sooner, but it just... We got these slight breaks about those times, and it worked out. And again, I had to fix up the side, you know, the pyramid. But anyway, so I went over there, and at this particular point in time, actually, one more thing before I talk about that. So again, we had a stage, okay? The first day, the stage wasn't set up. The second day, the stage was set up. It was about a 5x7 space, okay? It wasn't a big deal. It raised up about half an inch from the floor.
I think it was more than 5x7. It was bigger than that.
10x8x10?
10x8, yeah, that sounds about right.
So, you know, it was a decent space, and, right next to the stage, about, 3 or 4 paces away, was this big water thing that we were all refilling our stuff from, for making samples and tea. And, the magician stood in front of the stage, but he was mostly solid, you know, stationary. So did this comedian. But the flower children, one of them had a girlfriend. I can only assume because she didn't get the position of dancer due to dancing ability.
Yeah.
She closed her eyes the entire time and did that like one hand up flail while she turned around. And so
she's free as the wind. Yes. Get out of her way.
And again, her eyes are closed. And she had a stage that she occasionally put a toe on, but the rest of the time, like both, I think I had to go up there 2 or 3 times while they were performing, and I had to play Dodge the Dancer. Because she was just, you know, like darting back and forth, and sometimes she'd stay still, but she had a sense when someone was coming to refill their water, and she would find a way to be in their way. So anyway, that all being said, again, they're playing this this metal drum, and Shiva, Shiva, this is ingrained into my memory. I can never let this... This will never fade. So we had to update the board, and this time Slytherin took Gryffindor. And it was pretty much Ravenclaw and Gryffindor first place the whole time. This time Slytherin took second place. And so, you know, I'm like, hey, Slytherin took it from Gryffindor. And Julian, Slytherin takes second place, or, you know, Slytherin, yeah! It was probably something like that. And so I'm getting the next thing. I'm counting it up, and I'm writing the numbers on the board. And this one of the performers comes up and is just like, excuse me, dude, I know you're having a game, but can you keep it down? And I'm like, okay, fine, sure. And I continue to write the number. And he stays there, like, right next to my ear, and is like, because we are trying to perform an acoustic rendition behind you. And so my brow kind of furrows, and I'm like, oh, fine. And I'm, you know, going to continue writing the thing. Because we're artists. We're just trying to get through this song. So I know you're trying to have fun. Just keep it down. And so at this point, you know, my chest puffs out, and, you know, I turn around to say something effective. Excuse me, this is a tea fest, you know, but he's already back to his Shiva.
He's already drowning you out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I missed that part, and if I caught that, well, I'll back up a little bit and say, so I'm involved in some spiritual practices, let's just say that, and one of my teachers, he is, what's the right word?
Black.
The best way, yes, he is black. The best way to translate it is he's kind of like something like a very important priest with the Hindu stuff, but obviously not priest because they don't use that word, trying to translate to people. Like, he knows his shit and he's communicating a lot of it with me. Shiva is not a person you sing happy songs with. Shiva's person comes on and bitch slaps you. Like, Shiva the Destroyer, it's kind of in the name. And in the Lord and just everything.
The Destroyer of Ignorance, man.
And if you ever want to see a show, come to the store. Come to the store and be mean to my employees. You'll see a show. So if I caught that, I would have shown him an example of Shiva. More verbally, but that is just not... Like, you do not come with your stupid hippy-dippy bullshit... Talking about aliens, and then doing that to my employees who was just busy working.
I couldn't have handled any more verbal Shiva.
It would have been true verbal Shiva. It would have been at least one, get the fuck out of here. I can tell you how much right now. And demonetized.
Oh well.
Yeah, I hope they do not come back. Cancer.
Yeah.
So that was the second day. So we learned a few things about, first of all, the benefits of having entertainment, because really they, for a small space, especially like that, it's a really good idea. And just effective entertainment, those guys who were able to stay mostly out of the way of the people getting samples and, you know, the water and stuff, who knew their space and knew how to accommodate crowds, and then ineffective people that had their eyes closed the entire time and said one word.
Why weren't they on the stage?
I don't know. Like I said, because maybe the 10x8
Shiva
was
didn't want them on the stage.
No. Shiva destroyed the stage in their minds, man. Only the man stays
only
on conformi- the
stage. Yeah. Stages are for conformists.
God, they were pretty bad. But the first day was our most successful first day at a convention ever. The second day, the other story that I'm going to write down for Facebook, basically was we had a group of fans, and they stayed by our booth for like 3 hours. They were typical anime preteen girls.
Nerds!
and they told us a lot of stories, and they sampled a lot of teas, and, finally, by the time they had to go, two of them on their own came up to me and said, in two different ways, basically, you know, we're socially awkward, and like, yes, they were a little socially awkward, but so are we, and but we don't ever talk to people, And so this was really nice being able to just come somewhere and be able to talk. And I tried to be the elder and be like, no, the answer's in you all along. And I just utterly failed, I think, both attempts at it. But it was really cool.
One of them pulled from me, then Chris Hansen showed up.
One of those things is true. Oh, which one do you think? That was cool. To actually be the place where people got to come out of their shell a bit.
In terms of the house points, Slytherin got screwed.
No, they didn't.
Yes, we did.
Slytherin's... All right, so I calculated all the totals for the stolen points. Slytherin stole 1 in 10 of their points.
Well, we got Slytherin. We also got many more points stolen from us.
Yeah, pretty much when nobody knew who to steal from, they'd stole from Slytherin. If I were to just ballpark it, just a pure ballpark, I think they probably got around 200 points taken away from them.
Oh, mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what was their total in the end?
700. Which was tied with Gryffindor, so the answer is not fulfilled.
Which is pretty amazing. They lost by 140.
Yeah. So, Gryffindor.
Ravenclaw.
Ravenclaw definitely won that one. Nobody cared about Hufflepuff, to be expected.
Yeah, Hufflepuff was like... did they even surpass double or triple digits?
Yeah, everyone. We started with 100 points, thank you very much.
You ended with negative 12.
Actually, so that was something else.
It was down to 40 at one point.
What?
140, maybe.
140. Oh.
Must have been.
Oh.
Yeah, that sounds about right. But anyway, we started out with 100 points each, just because, you know, we filled... to fill the glasses and disperse the light.
So people could take stuff away.
The first purchase was a butterbeer. So had we not done that...
yeah.
It would have been more difficult. The second purchase might have been too. Butterbeer sold out.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that we saw that coming, and so we were like, hey, so people can order. And so we got a system, and so he took the orders, and we shipped those out. We made enough special boxes, right?
Yes.
Good.
Ended up actually only being three people holding Butterbeer, but I used the other boxes for... I'm going to quickly fast forward in time. So, on the way back, our van died.
Yep.
And with repairs and hotel and towing and everything, it was about $700. And so we opened up a GoFundMe to help alleviate some of the pain. And some of the more kinder people who donate a lot more money, I sent them a little bit of a thank you.
Oh, good.
Yep. So, if anyone wants... It's still open, so if anyone wants to keep donating, if you donate enough, I might send you a thank you as well. I should make a post on that. I might draw some people in. Either today. All right. And going back to the
original title. While we're on that subject, I don't think we ever posted the rest of that post that kind of got cut off. John's car is dead.
Yeah.
And is continuing to die as evidenced as he drove here today. So we're not going to be able to do any more festivals or conventions or anything until
we get a transport.
Something changes in that regard. And it's basically going to have to be a new car, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So festivals are... basically, our main source of income and our like biggest source of followers and attention and all that. And so I think if you want to give to the GoFundMe, that's also going to be a huge help for that, because we're not going to be able to go to Houston or Kansas City or any of those places until that changes.
Yeah. If we make enough to cover even like a rental, we might be able to go to one.
Yeah.
But
I think we calculated it one time because we were considering doing that because we were worried that the car would explode. And that turned out to be more expensive than just...
It's expensive, but...
fixing your car...
It's about the same. We plus businesses get discounts.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll figure that out. But, yeah, money for cars. So, I think the GoFundMe thing will apply to the car as well, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we still got 400 to go for covering the stuff. So.
Yeah, so... So that'll be on the Dragon's Treasure Facebook page for anyone to see. Mm-hmm. So any help would be appreciated, even a couple bucks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that actually takes a bit of look, because I was looking at my bank accounts and credit card bills today, and I forgot about that extra $300 in there, and I was like, oh, thank God, that just reminded me. Okay, that takes a little bit of pressure off me of how I'm going to pay my bills. So, thank you again for everybody who donated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Got us home.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever find the crests?
No.
No? They just vanished?
Yeah. Like I said, I was like, I was sure that we had them.
Yeah.
What happened?
My special crests, the 3D foam crests that I spent hours making.
On the front of the point counters?
Yeah, thank goodness we had, what do you call those? Coasters. We had Harry Potter coasters.
Oh.
Yeah. So we put those.
Those things were awesome, though.
I know. And so maybe we'll put them up on Etsy or something. I don't know.
Did you ask your dad if they would?
He would have said something.
Nah. I have no. Because I could have sworn we brought them in the car.
Right, I know!
That's frustrating.
I guess that's the missing thing for this trip.
Last
time it was an entire batch of tea.
Yeah, so I'll consider it.
Popular one, no less.
Yeah, a bunch of people asked about that.
Yeah. So, this was a nice rejuvenation of my own.
At least it wasn't a human this time. We don't talk about Jamie.
No, not Jamie. Yeah, we gotta go back to California. So, one of these things did is it gave me a nice little rejuvenating shot in the arm. So, fun fact, there is a lot of work that goes before the T-Fest, going into the T-Fest. I spent, I'm going to ballpark it on maybe 40 hours of doing stuff 2 weeks beforehand, purely on setting up and doing tea stuff.
Yeah.
And buying things to make all the tea. This was the first time we had the 20 gram bags instead of just 50. And so that's definitely a thing I need to keep in mind. Future things. People would have a taste of the 20s a lot more. But yeah, just seeing...
Especially at a tea fest where you're probably buying like a million things of tea.
Yeah. Just seeing all the excited people. And between us and our Western friends, both of us definitely had like the most elaborate, beautiful looking, setups.
Yeah, so I never finished that thought completely. I started talking about their bricks and all that. They also had a cast iron three cauldrons.
Mm-hmm.
And I explained that we had the quasi hourglass shaped house crystal holders with the house, well, they weren't house crests, but they were house coasters with the house crests on them.
Yeah.
And in front of that we kept a lot of the those cards that you made. People loved them.
The cards?
Oh, yeah.
Great!
And so we went with, a lot of them purchased, but a lot of people just grabbed them, and they came back to purchase the tea anyways. Like, it was awesome. The people just ate that up.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'm glad.
It was. And so anyways, what I'm trying to get at is we had all that in front, plus our pyramid that everyone just had to touch, which is fine. I'm not complaining. And then we had our house totals. And then I also kept a running, more or less a running tab of what we had brewing, which wasn't nearly as much as was in other conventions. Everything about ours changed. So it was just this living...
Changed?
Yes.
Oh, like it was dynamic.
Yes. It was super dynamic.
Yeah.
And next door was just this pristine aesthetic.
Uh-huh.
And there's two different ways to do
frozen
conventions.
Frozen in time.
Yeah. Like straight out of the book. Like you took a page out versus you were, reading along with it. I mean, it was really neat. And so I really embrace our philosophy of doing it. But I looked at their thing, and then there was another booth that was pretty. It had some books. It had a bright red quill.
Oh, yeah, that's cute.
Which could be used for nothing, but it was like, it just, it harkened to the...
It was...
Oh, I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah.
It wasn't a real quill?
Well, but I don't think it was dipped in ink or anything. It was a real quill.
It was an aesthetic quill.
Oh, it was just for display, not sale.
Was just like, and I couldn't exactly even pinpoint why, but it was there not for a purpose other than the aesthetic, and it just it was straight out of Harry Potter. And so after being there and seeing a couple successful booths, that'll help me to, you know, really help design the setups.
Yeah. We had a few people saying our area was, like, basically the main attraction. That was nice.
Which is funny because... Well,
several of them are in this room.
Yeah. No, there were a lot of people that said that, but we also, the convention had a house point thing going on. They didn't tell us that they were doing a house cup.
Yeah, I saw a couple posts on the event page, and, like, they didn't explain it at all.
I think they explained it there.
I mean, they I probably did, but it was buried, and, like, they were posting every day, so you couldn't really catch up with that. But I saw them, you know, say stuff about it, but I didn't. It was never explained very well at all.
Makes sense.
So what was it?
I don't know. we were focused on ours.
How many points did we get?
Total? Did we?
Yeah.
Oh, I
for their thing.
I didn't look at their thing at all, so I still don't know. I imagine Ravenclaw won.
They had a lot of things going on which I knew nothing about, like there was a scavenger hunt and other stuff like that. But I was just focused. Our hands were full.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There was a scavenger hunt. Some people stole some of the things that they weren't supposed to from our booth, but I just embraced them. Like, yeah, that's right. That's get it here. One-stop shop.
Like what?
I brought my Ollivander's wand, and so they were in search of a particular wand. I'm like, sure.
Oh, for the scavenger's hunt?
Yeah.
Did they bring it back?
No, they didn't take it. They just took a picture.
Oh.
They showed it on their iPhones or droids. Yeah, they had a lot of stuff that was going on, and so even despite our thunder being stolen a little bit by them doing a lot of the same things that we were doing, we were where it was at.
Yeah.
Well, I asked you guys to bring back a unique tea for me,
and I tried.
You said, like, there weren't any other tea sellers.
I mean, like, half the people there were not tea.
That's so weird.
That was weird.
Oh, like, why didn't you get me some insurance? No, but that's so weird.
I tried to find some, like, exotic sound, like, Pine Bhutan type of teas, and just, I couldn't, there was a lot of herbal concoctions. A lot.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't find many, you know, this is from, like, the Himalayan mountains, only picked on 1972.
Oh, well, that's not the kind of unique that I was trying to get, but...
What type of unique were you?
Just something that's, like, you don't see every day.
Oh, there was, like, pumpkin tea, so I should have gone with those then. Dang.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know, but, like, at Midwest the first year, they had, like, root beer, rooibos or something, like, it's just something weird like that, you know?
You gotta make that Dr. Pepper tea.
Oh, yeah, yeah!
Definitely gotta,
do that. That's the first, like...
Pure blend.
Yeah,
that we could do. But there were a lot of booths that were pretty neat though. Like one of our friends that we made, she made us a whole bunch of bags because she was bored out of her mind, and she's actually she's pretty good. She was like 12, I think.
13.
Yep. Okay. She was just drawing stuff, and she came over to our booth a lot, and she knew a ton about, you know, the Harry Potter verse, and had been doing conventions for forever. And I forget when she finally came out and said that she was just, like, dying because she was so bored. And I saw that she was drawing. I'm like, hey, come here. Our first convention, I started to draw in the bags. People love them. She was there with her family. I'm like, see if they'll pick you up some bags. Seriously, that goes a long way. People really love that. And she's like, well, they won't, but can I have some bags? And so I, you know, gave her a stack of our brown paper bags, and she came back, and she drew a caricature of both of us on one of them, yep, which I'm keeping.
And then I said she'd throw tea in the face, and
you
she
did?
Was not happy after that.
Oh, that's what happened.
Yeah.
But her family...
Explain.
You made that up.
I made it up.
I wasn't there.
Yeah, you made that entirely up.
Oh.
Her family makes tea-infused jellies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Mm-hmm. So that was pretty cool, and there was essential oils that you can add to teas if you wanted.
She was bored, but I was like, you're supposed to be helping!
Yeah. So, some of the booths, you know, many of them weren't tea. They were sort of on the periphery. Like, you know...
I saw that, tea-ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Going back to what I was saying before, the jolt in the arm. So, yeah, many, many hours, you know, unpaid hours, mind you, of bagging the teas and making new labels and dealing with things that did not come in on time.
You got to fight for 15.
Yeah, fight for 15. I'll show you a fight for 15. Out of this, I think John ended up making more money than me.
Maybe.
Yes, you did.
I don't think so. I put money into the a bunch of tests.
Nah, because I gave you... $200 total, $100 before and then $100 after.
Yeah, I'm aware.
And after the payments, I'm at negative.
Well, because I'm going to have to fix up my car more, I'm definitely going to be negative.
I'm going to tell me how much it costs and I'll see what I can do. So. I'm going to have to change things up with my current things of making money. We'll talk about that post-tea stuff.
Yeah.
but yeah, just like seeing all the excited people and seeing just, you know, the way things work and being able to say F you to everybody who's like, anime and tea, that's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Just,
God, I wish I was there.
I want my own freaking store. I want it. I want it. I want it. I want it. And so I got a nice little jolt of just like, you know, this is a thing. I know it works. I keep seeing it works. I just need to make it happen. And the more people buy tea, not just for themselves, you can give it to other people, the closer I will get The closer I will get to that goal. And it will spread, not just one town, but many towns. International.
Okay, we'll take calm over down, Japan. Sir.
No.
Sir.
What?
Calm down.
Don't tell me to calm down. You should calm down.
I'm calm.
Okay. And so that was the Houston Tea Fest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not a lot of anime news this week.
Not a lot of news at all.
Fighters came out, but I think we'll talk about it in the spoiler section.
Fighters came out. Story, you know, mode. That thing.
Not a lot of spoilers to spoil.
I've played... There's three parts to the main storyline.
I haven't done that at all, so...
So...
So I'll play the story mode, and we can talk about it next week, maybe.
I will at least say that they did a damn fine job of doing the story mode correctly and just filling in the holes of, yeah, but how is Yamcha fighting with Frieza type of stuff? In a way that makes sense and works within a Dragon Ball universe.
From what I've seen so far, yeah.
Yeah, as opposed to Xenoverse, just time travel goes back in time. No one pays attention or even notices he's there, and they always seem to forget. And so, that'll wrap this up. Join us for the second infusion where we talk mucho anime.
Yay!
Welcome to the second infusion. I am the T-Man.
T-Guy.
Nick.
Well, I guess that's over with. So, there is quite a lot of anime that we have watched this past 2 weeks now, because we missed last week because we were stranded in Texas.
Two of us were.
Yeah.
I was in this comfy bed that I'm right now in.
I was here playing Dragon Ball.
Yeah. So, where do you want to begin, Nikolai?
I want to start.
Go ahead.
With the tea.
With the tea?
Yeah. So, we're doing the second infusion of the one that may or may not become an actual tea. And I can tell by across the room looking at your cup that yours is a bit light.
I
kept it in the same.
I left it in for another, like, 30 seconds after I poured mine because it's like, hey, this is clear.
Yeah. And so I got the longer infused tea, so we're doing like a mild second infusion experiment.
Yeah, we have a gradient from like least to darkest across the room.
Yeah, and so ironically, and I would have thought the pomegranate would have been the first to fade. It's almost I get a little bit of the pear and some of the pomegranate, and most of the other flavors have faded away.
It's there, but it's subtle.
Also, this helped me realize the first infusion I got in the first route, very light white tea. I'm not picking up the white tea notes as strongly. So, you know, second infusion, leave in an extra 30 seconds to a minute.
Yeah.
So anyways, now we can start an anime.
Yay!
Okay.
All right.
Lots of good shows this season.
Yes, yeah. Finally. Let's go with Record of Grand Crest Ward. That's a good one to begin with. So, the show finally has its, how can I describe them?
Enemies. The,
twin lowly maids. Twin lowly footy maids.
I didn't realize that there was that many fetishes inside of the vampire versus werewolf arc that happened this week. Yeah. Bondage, too.
Oh, yeah, some bondage. They were in bondage, yes.
An amputee.
An amputee.
Oh, my God.
Goddamn.
They just had a meeting and like, okay, what... Well, I almost gave them a German accent. What are fetishes?
Germany or Florida?
Yeah.
Yep, so we have an idea of who's doing all of the bad stuff. The vampires, of course.
Of course.
Always gotta be the bad guys. With an understandable plotline, too, so that's nice.
Yeah, actually, the way that they played that, he's obviously in the wrong, but I can't help but feel for him, you know? If you guys win, this will be the end of art. I don't want it to be the end of art. Without art, how can we have twin lowly whatever else? Bondage twins.
The way I was taking it was, because art was with a capital A, and he had this ring with an A on it. I was thinking it was art as in, like technique. Like, you know, like some sort of version of magic. Like, we'll lose our art.
Yeah, that too. I mean, I agree.
Yeah,
that's just an extension of it.
It's still like the same sentiment, but a different. It's got a completely different meaning if you take it that way.
Both sound awful to lose.
Well, losing like visual art is different than losing vampire powers.
Yeah.
You know.
There is something this show is doing really well, which I am absolutely freaking loving. They have defined power levels without defining them.
Yeah.
You can get a feel for people's strengths and weaknesses. And, you know, stuff like key blocked, that's sharp, but his arm was useless for the rest of the day. Like, stuff like that. Like, little things that give you an idea of where people's power levels lie without spelling it out like Super does.
Besides Vegeta.
Besides Vegeta.
His power level, that power up just... Anyway.
So, actually, I think Dragon Ball's lost a lot of its power levelness.
Yeah, it's done.
Power levels were irrelevant, like, after...
Frieza.
I was going to say that, but then I was thinking Cell.
No, because they...
Or before Cell.
They did a good job with the Cell Saga.
At the beginning of Cell.
They did a good job playing around the Cell Saga with the idea of power levels, and, like, just gaining physical strength is not enough, boy.
Yeah.
Which I enjoyed that. So, yeah, so Record of Grand Crest Ward, they're doing a pretty decent job of keeping me on my toes.
Yeah, I didn't see this episode coming at all, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of weird.
That's been the trend, and in a pleasant way, because they keep changing up what they're changing up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
A few episodes ago, I was pretty surprised when he just handed over all of his power to become a total... subject of that one dude, the pervy guy, who's not pervy. I didn't see what was the thing before this. Gosh, there was something else that happened.
It was two episodes that we got to talk about.
Yeah, well, anyways, it just, you know, things happened. He gave up his lordship title to become just a knight, and he is just being a bitch, and that's fine. Like, you know, he's doing it well. He's just like, you know, let me serve you. Is this low enough? Is this kneeling well enough? Is my mouth open wide enough? And he's, you know, he's just doing whatever the guy says. And he's a good knight. I didn't see it coming, you know? I figured it
After the first episode where he's just like doing random what's the opposite of highway banditry? Highway heroics?
Yes. Matchbook chivalry? I don't know.
previous episode, they had actual fights, and we got to see that all the characters were not basically invulnerable. The name of the Valkyrie woman, whatever her name was, you know, she got shot through the, almost through the heart and was going to die until the healer came by and did her little thing. By just like a plain knight. It wasn't like some super special baddie. It was just, you know, a little no-face.
No, there was a guy literally that had no face. This was a guy that had a face, but it didn't matter.
Nah.
What do you mean by literally had no face?
There was a guy that that just had no facial features. Like,
Of art or because of powers? Because
he was like an off-greed.
Oh, you mean,
remember.
You mean the mercenary guy.
Yeah, no, but there was him, but there was another guy who just, I think he lost all his facial features, if I remember correctly. Where he basically was stone face. But Greed has eyes.
The guy who
stripes.
Turns black like Greed?
No, but because he still has his eyes. It was someone that, you know, did something kind of like that. But anyways,
I vaguely remember this
person that shot her was nobody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had no name. Maybe he had a name, but it didn't matter.
He was a no-name.
Mm-hmm. So it'll be fun to see all the different directions this can go. Speaking of unexpected things, the Hitman thing, something ramens.
Hakata Takatsu ramens.
Bless you. Yeah.
I don't know why it's called that. That's pretty good.
That is doing a lot of stuff. It's been a while since I've been surprised by a twist.
What was the twist?
You saw the latest episode?
I'm not sure. But go on.
Three episodes in.
I think I've seen that,
No, we're five episodes in now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I must have watched, like, four in a row or something.
We met the hitman.
Oh, no, I didn't see this. But anyways, go on. It's fine. It's fine. I can handle a spoiler this week.
Did I watch? I saw that, but, you're setting it up to be something that sounds like I haven't seen it.
We talked about that already.
We talked about that last week.
Yeah, they finished the story arc of everything that's going on.
Awesome.
So
hold on.
You were behind. You want to watch it?
No, I want to see. I'm going to look up if I've already seen it right now. Keep talking.
Well, if the story arc is still going, then no. All the plot threads are finished.
Huh. Because I just watched it yesterday. But keep talking. I'm just gonna do my thing.
So what was the pleasant twist for me, which I did not see coming, is the private eye is the hitman.
That's what I said. That was obvious.
Yeah.
What?
Because of his hair. I felt they were making it too obvious.
Because of his hair.
Yeah. So they showed the hitman, with the one guy telling the story. And then they were getting all dolled up.
Yeah.
That's him without the mask.
The last one that I saw was, is it okay if I take out this contract with this guy against you? And then he's like, yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was two episodes ago. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I'm way behind. What happened?
I don't know.
Oh, well.
The episode you saw left off with the crossdresser being surrounded by the people, right?
I don't remember him being surrounded.
That was the one. That's how it ended. He was in the suitcase.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you're one episode behind.
Yeah, me too. That's okay.
Yeah, I was expecting like this, like the final season type of plot line, where they're like, you know, a lot of shenanigans trying to get to the mayor's son and all of this, but nope, it's all nice and settled.
I'm glad of that, because I was really nervous about what kind of BS they were going to pull to stretch that storyline out. You know, because it looked like all points were converging. I'm like, okay, they put the red herring of that one guy having the same hair and being unusually strong. They're playing him out to be the hero, or not the hero, the hitman killer. The opposite, almost.
Anti-hero.
And so there's going to be a crazy thing that happens, and I really don't want them to play this out. So I'm really glad that I don't know what's going to happen now, but that they stopped it, and they let it run its course, and now there's something else that's going to happen. That's really exciting.
Yep. They also watch past the credits, because there's another scene
I hate it when they do that. Is it every time or just sometimes?
At the very least, it's for this episode. I think this is the only episode they've done that with.
I hate that. Like, if it's all the time or none of the times, that's fine. But if it's just, like, sometimes it's got more, that's the worst.
Yeah. It sets up, more or less sets up what the next plot line is going to be. But it doesn't really tell you what it is, but gives you an idea, like, this character is going to matter.
Mm-hmm.
And he was someone we saw in episode 1, and we have not seen since.
Okay. Don't know who that is.
As we decide on the next anime to speak of, I got up to episode 200 in One Piece, finally.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's getting better.
One-fourth of the way there.
And counting, because they keep releasing new episodes. Yeah, it's getting better.
Luffy go Super Saiyan yet?
No. No, he hasn't. He's Kaioken.
He's Kaioken right now.
Yeah. He's becoming more flexible.
Oh my god.
That doesn't even make sense.
Zoro's done some cool stuff.
Zoro!
Yeah. I don't know why. He's a pretty neat character, because he's like L in the sense that he's surrounded by all the supernatural shenanigans, and he's just having none of it.
I'm gonna swing my sword.
Yeah, no, seriously. They just went. So the last arc I just finished was Sky P. They went up into the heavens, and they were just literally sailing around the clouds for like 100 episodes, or like 50. And there's this dude up in the heavens that calls himself God that summons lightning bolts on people. That it gets explained later, but, you know, he's just like, I never prayed to God. I don't care about that. And there are these priests that are, like, devout followers of his, and they're just like, oh, watch out, it's God. And he's like, I don't care about that. And that was just, like, his stance. And he does something really neat, which I appreciated as somebody that likes a lot of those Eastern cultures, where he started to talk about the temptations. Like the temptations of the past, the present, and the future, and of all of these pathways that lead to the sharpest of swords. It's just, it's very, I'll have to re-look up exactly what he said, but it fit his character so well, and it fit the, like, the spiritual path as opposed to the dogmatic path really, really well. And they have a bad habit of giving their main cast, main character invincibility. Like, I have no fear any of them are going to die. Like, that's just gone. Yeah. And that's kind of a bummer for me. But bad things can happen, and they can lose their dreams, which, I mean, that's something that's...
That's a form of death.
Yeah, but they're still going to be alive, and they're probably going to get it back then.
Right.
You know, so we'll see.
It is a shonen.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And so I think that I can already tell you as a show it's matured. And I hope it's going to continue to mature. It's way more enjoyable in the first, like, 20 episodes. It's continually getting better. And so I think that might be a reflection of the evolution of anime. Because, shoot, I'm into, what, the 90s at this point?
You mean
I'm 206 or... episodes in. Is that... Oh, I've reached the 90s? Because it started in, like, the 80s.
No.
When did it start?
Like, probably a little before...
Oh, I'm thinking of the manga, I'm sorry. Oh, four? No way.
No, before Naruto a little bit.
Oh, yeah, sure. So I'm well with the 90s. Maybe I'm in the 2000s.
But it didn't start in the 80s.
But... You can tell that they definitely evolved...
Dragon Ball started in the 80s.
Yeah. And I thought that One Piece, the manga, started right about...
No.
Early 2000s.
The manga?
Yeah.
Okay. Fist of the North Star, Berserk, and JoJo all started in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
No.
All right. But anyway, it's evolving a lot. And so you can tell that both they're evolving as a crew of animators alongside the crew of pirates. And some, you can tell some other things were rocking the boat of anime, as it were. And so it's nice to be able to pick that up. So anyways, what's our next modern show?
To be fair, One Piece probably has more volumes of than Berserk.
They kept at it. They just have been consistent as can be.
Much unlike Berserk.
All right. Are you caught up with Darling in the Franxx?
I am, yeah.
I think I'm going to just go ahead and drop it. Because four episodes in, and I'm not...
Four? I might be behind on that, yeah. Too.
Did they team up again?
No.
Main, male and female? No, then you...
They did.
Nick,
they...
You had one job!
I had one job for 2 weeks, though, and that confused me.
One Piece was released in 97. Wow.
One Piece?
Yeah, that was about my guess.
Yeah, wow. I thought it was older than that. Anyway. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and just drop it. You can continue it and keep us updated, see if it gets interesting, but...
Which one was this again?
That's the one with the male and female. They basically got a fuck, but not really. To make a robot move.
Oh, I heard about this, yes.
I thought we watched them in Houston.
I didn't.
No? You nope. Should?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you're not really missing out much. I don't know.
Has there been any kind of threat yet?
Not really. I mean, they again played a plot line of, oh no, big scary thing is going to take out the unimportant characters. Well, let's team up and fight this unimportant thing and blah. Just... They're trying to get like a relationship thing going between the main male and female, which is nice, but it just kind of feels...
The horn girl or the horny girl?
The horn girl. And it's... They're trying way too hard to sell sex, and there's no plot around the sex.
Yeah, that was kind of what I was worried about.
Yeah, and so like I just don't care. Like, you keep trying to make things happen, but you don't explain anything, and I don't care. So I'm done with Darling in the Franxx.
Yeah. I'm kind of worried that it's one of those things where it's got like a slow build up and then a huge payoff in the end. What was that?
That was Nick, think about what you just said.
Okay, all right.
About the show too.
All right. Yeah, okay.
Attaboy.
He waited till I took a deep swallow before he talked about
it. Hi-yo!
Yeah. A place further than the universe.
A place further than the universe. Was there a new episode today? Crap, I missed a new episode today.
Did you watch, John?
I did.
Well, I'm one episode behind. That's fine. Go ahead. So, two episodes to catch up on, actually. So they're finally going to Antarctica.
Wait, you haven't seen the last two episodes?
I saw the last. I did not see the episode that came out today, but I saw the last week episode. Go ahead and talk.
Well, what happened last week? You start with that.
Last week,
I've got
my
days confused.
They went into the mountains for training.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
That lady, I'm going to call her table fucker because she looks just like her.
Watch Code Geass.
And frankly, and she looks like she would too, doesn't she?
Yeah.
You know, she's like,
the friend.
Yeah, I'm gonna break up our friendship because I tried to sabotage you because I need you because I'm a closet lesbian.
Yeah, that was dramatic.
Uh huh.
And then she did so the only thing that could have made that worse is what the main character did.
I reject a breakup.
Breakup rejected. Yeah. Though it doesn't really speak well for the their survivability. Like, so there's how many friends are there?
Four.
There's four friends. Five people knew about their trip to go to Antarctica, and the mom found out.
Yeah.
That was fun. I thought we talked about it before.
We did.
We did. Yeah. So what happened with
something's missing.
I don't know. Oh!
It was the girl. It was her friend told the bomb.
Yeah. Is that in a different episode?
No, it was in this episode with the breakup, not breakup. She's like, I did all these things and spread all these rumors about you, but you guys never figured it out. So here I am going to tell you because I'm breaking up with you.
Ugh.
Yeah.
What should take an Instagram
picture.
What an
annoying character.
Yeah. But they're going to be friends anyways, so nonetheless.
It's okay.
Yeah. I mean, that episode was okay. Yeah.
So what happened with the last episode, episode 6?
Okay, so I'm really proud of myself because I called most of the episode and what happened in it. They got to Australia. Or was it Australia? No, it was Singapore.
Was it Singapore?
Yeah.
There's a lot of English. I thought it was Australia. Well, fine. Not,
there's English in Singapore.
They got out of Japan.
So the convenience store girl, she's like looking through her stuff and then she puts it in the hotel safe. And she's kind of got like a worried expression on her face, and I'm like, she forgot her passport,
lost it, because she got through the terminals to get out of Japan.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and that's exactly what happened.
Yep.
And so they go through all this stuff, and the Antarctica girl is. Talking about
in order for her to get a new passport, they have to go to the embassy.
Yeah.
It's Saturday night and the embassy is closed on Sunday and they leave early on Monday. And in order to get the passport, it takes half a day. And so they're like, "All right, well, what do we do?" Go on.
Kiss.
So they could leave without her or they could or she couldn't blah. I'm explaining this really badly.
It's okay.
The three of them can leave on their own, and then she can catch up, or they can reschedule their flight, which is what they do. And
every one of them was like, let's just leave the next day. We'll call everybody. It's fine. And then the one girl who forgot her passport's just like, no, I don't need you guys. I'll just go. And then if I can't, then you'll just, you know, you'll have a trip without me, and it'll be fine. It'll be great.
Yeah, and so she has this big personal crisis about how she doesn't like people relying on her and stuff like that, which is kind of dumb, but at the same time,
it's
like...
people being considerate of her is how the translation I had.
Yeah, like, something like that.
It was a really
like,
weird wording, and, you know...
It was kind of weird, yeah, like, I don't know.
I never know where they stand if they're being considerate of me.
Yeah, it was a weird emotional crisis, but... Yeah, some character development there. And then I'm so happy because I called that she just left it with one of the other girls.
The one that paid to get the tickets.
Oh, yeah.
Business class.
Then she was like, I've got 1,000,000 yen, so I'm going to go and...
2,000,000.
And pay the...
upgrade.
The upgrade to get the next day because they couldn't reschedule it for until another month. So she's just like, here's a lot of money, make it happen.
That changed quickly because she went up there and they did a good job in the Japanese version. I want to hear it in the English version. But the first person, I think the main character, talked to her, the ticket person. And she's like, all right, we can't because we got the cheap tickets. And so... the Antarctica girl goes up there and is just like, exchange, no! And Lydia's like, no!
Yeah, like, it was so blunt.
And then no. She took the wad of money and slammed it on the table. Yes, sir!
Do now, please!
Do now, please! Yeah. And, you know, then the screen flashes away, and so you assume that she said, oh, okay, money! Yenny! And yeah, so they all were able to get their tickets back, and so they're on their way to Antarctica.
Yeah,
closer now because of all the emotional traumas of the last two episodes.
And the punishment for Antarctica, who had the passport, and convenience store girl who lost her passport was they had to eat smelly fruit,
jackfruit.
Jackfruit?
Yeah, you don't know? That was the jackfruit.
No, it was, I can't think of the name of it now. Durian.
It's jackfruit.
Whatever. Fruits can have more than one name, man.
That's true.
You can't just, like, name a fruit.
Jack of fruit.
Oh, my God. Shiva.
Oh, boy. Any other ones in which we all watched?
Yes. Most of them.
Yeah.
Ainsworth.
Cuckoo.
Well, okay, fine. We'll go there.
Oh, cuckoo.
They got to stop the chicka-chicka-chicka-chicka-chicka. It gives me a heart attack every single time they do that. Like, I'm just there, and, you know, oh, this is really interesting. This is very strange. It's a surreal type experience. And they chicka-chicka-chicka-chicka at me. And I'm like...
Which translates to heart in Japanesean.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
I typed it in, and that's what it came out to.
That's Kokoro.
Yeah.
Not Kokoku.
Bless you.
Anyway.
So, plot is moving quite nicely. Every episode gives another little detail to this mysterious little world. So, going back two episodes. Actually, three episodes, because, yeah, it's been a while. Yeah. So, summing it up real quickly, the daughter has a brand new superpower. Number one is being a rape target. Like, Jesus Christ, like, every episode, I'ma rape you. Number two, she can palm strike the jellyfish out of them.
We need a better transition than that. She's a rape victim, and she can palm fish the jelly out. Strike the jellyfish out of them. The jellyfish are the things that keep them in stasis.
Yes.
By the way, Kokoku means moment by moment.
Which is hard.
There you go.
Perfect.
That does not translate to heart.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. Also, every time somebody who is moving around dies, the jellyfish leaves them and goes into a new body. So now we got both the both kidnapping victims, the useless brother, and a tiny little son? I forget. Whatever he is.
Momoku. Yeah, he's the main girl's nephew.
Nephew. They're able to now move around and now are, you know, hanging out. We got new rules for the heralds / harbingers. They have a limit on how much they can do to keep stasis people alive. And there's multiples of them. You can become one by basically just giving up on life.
Yeah, pretty
much. Which almost happened to the useless guy. Uh-huh. Right now, he is literally being kept alive by that little child.
The
brother.
The brother.
Yeah.
So, what's going on with all that? What little things happened?
All right, so I gotta pause there for a moment. I liked how they had that one main Yakuza guy who's sort of like their sub leader, who's just like, oh man, this is such a pain. But really, we had a good we picked a good time to go into stasis. We can survive for years
yeah.
here. And then they go into giving up on life and just living in stasis.
Yeah.
But it wasn't affecting him because there was this subtle difference. And that's hard to show and not tell. But I thought they did a really good job at it. Plus, there was that weird moment where he's just like, she's like, can you help me? He's like, can I screw you? Yeah. And not the chicka chicka, get on my head. It was like a rooster crowing or something. She's like, yeah, when it's done. All right, then. And he dies.
Oh, we don't know yet if they die. No, they may or may not die when they're punched out of stasis.
They get hit pretty hard is the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The scene with the grandpa where you saw it from his eyes when he got almost knocked out of stasis, that was cool.
Yeah, because he's like struggling to bring it back in.
Yeah, you see the struggle, and then see the girl move like super speed.
Yeah,
like,
that was pretty cool.
That's so neat.
And he had to basically use a special move to bring the strings back in.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just like force of will. It was like I had to train for this
Aegis.
Or something.
Mm-hmm. That's the command he uses to basically like make the spell happen.
Oh.
That poor guy, he thought that he left her there, and so he, you know, searched, and that was, the pacing of the story, everything about it's weird, but I felt really bad for him.
Yeah.
It's like, whoop, there goes my granddaughter. She gone. So we're going to have a nice little chit-chat between the two ladies.
Yeah.
Who... Man, this show really This season is filled with, like, a lot of... Surprise. Innuendos.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to fuck.
Who are you talking about now?
She was the first one to slap the jellyfish out of me.
Where do you get that from?
Well, let's see. The big-breasted one is almost getting raped all the time.
Well, that's not an innuendo, but...
The other one is willing to screw to get the information / goal she wants. Have you seen the outro of the show?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's going to be sexy time between them.
Where do you get that from?
It's implied.
From?
My mind.
Okay.
So we got the Kokorororo. Anything else that's not Dragon Ball and Magisprite?
It's not those two.
I watched After the Rain, which is a... it's kind of like a shoujo-ish show. And it's a... The art looks like it's from the 90s or earlier. And... It's kind of... They've got the proportions of Sailor Moon. And it's a show about a girl who gets injured running. She's like a track person. And so she's stuck not doing that. And she is working at this diner. And she falls in love with her boss, who's, like, in his 40s.
Ew.
You'd think so, but it kind of surprisingly works out, and it's not at all creepy.
Nick, why don't you have a seat right over there?
It's actually kind of adorable in its own way, but, like, that premise has been done before, but... this is pretty good because it's, like, they're both really awkward about it.
Yay!
And, it's sort of like working. Like, the show working, not, mm-hmm. not, you know.
Oh, I get it.
Not working out. But, it's like that combined with, I don't know, something else. But... It has the same feel as that, where things are sort of like, I don't know, like easygoing and carefree. But then you have these scenes where it's like sort of more serious, and those are really good, and I like it. So that's that. It's got really good art.
I'll quickly go over the two episodes of Black Clover. So they were fighting the main baddie of this arc. And I have a little bit of a fear that even manga-wise, the show is going to get stale fast. Because it just feels like, you know, the big baddie is really overpowered. Oh, my sword cuts through magic, you're dead. Type of stuff. And it seems like that's all the plot's going to be. Because that's pretty much what happened with, like, the main fight. Just the main character, Asta... has his magic cut through magic sword, and cut through his magic, and he hit him.
Yay.
Yeah. But then, so, the last episode, they explained that all magic falls into one of four categories, fire, earth, water, air, and follows the same pattern of, you know, water beats fire, on and on. So this main baddie, who's from this other kingdom, he's got these special, like, gems encrusted into his forehead to give him like a super giant boost in magic, and he's able to break the rules and use two types of magic. And so he's using like healing fire while using this like earth crystalline stuff, and so like it's hard to hit him. And so the main character finds himself a new sword that cuts through magic and can absorb other people's magic and use it as a weapon. So he was able to absorb some other character's magic and use that to basically cut through the fire. and boom, bad guy's defeated. So, yeah, now I have a new worry of the show might get stale in that sense. The fight scenes at least look good in the last two episodes. It was fun watching it. So it's got that going, but hopefully it's not going to get stale. And don't want to blabber too much about that. So, Ancient Magus Bride. Oh, I don't even... Remind me what happened in the past two episodes. My mind is blank.
Two episodes.
Yule.
I forget...
Yule.
What happened in the last episode, but yeah.
So we got a nice little Christmas thing. That was fun. We got the backstory of the one-armed sorcerer's apprentice. She was basically a drug little child or something like that. He took her in.
Oh.
Yeah. And now we know how he got that scar protecting her.
Yeah.
I still don't know how he lost his arm. Are we, do we?
Yeah, we do.
What happened with that again?
It was that bad guy.
Yeah, I remember, but I don't remember what he did or why he did that.
Man, we've got short memories.
the sorcerer said, "No, you seem like a baddie." And so Baddie's like, "I'm going to take your arm."
Oh, okay.
That's basically how it happened.
Well, yeah, for this week, we got her backstory and Ainsworth got mad and he learned what anger was.
Yeah.
That was exciting. This is angry. And he gave her a teddy bear. That was adorable. And the teddy bear grows flowers. Sure.
Crystal flowers.
That look tasty to spirits. That'll keep her safe.
And the guy from Journey showed up again.
The guy from Journey?
The masked guy.
Oh, yeah.
Who has a bunch of super Rasengans or whatever.
Rinnegans, actually. Rinnegans, but yeah. I like the idea of this episode. What did you say?
I meant, but...
Not anymore.
Now I remember what a Rasengan is.
This episode wanted to demonstrate that words have meaning. And that was the general first premise. Little kids, the brother and a sister said something stupid like, "I don't need you." And then, so this old spirit plopped the kid out of existence, basically. And so the mother and the father had no recollection of their son. The daughter had just this faint connection to him. And as they got closer, it sort of vanished. So not even she remembered his name, but she remembered that she had a brother. He took the brother away and Ainsworth for I don't know why.
Shut up, that's why.
Yeah, pretty much. He's just dicking around with everybody is what he's doing. And so
literally that was the reason.
Mm-hmm. And I like Ainsworth. He's just like falling through a hole and he's just like, "This is why I don't like old spirits. They're just too powerful. What is this nonsense? Hey, little child." And the little kid's like, "Hey, look, can I take the bone off your head?" He goes, "No, I look like Chisei now."
Yeah, that was kind of weird.
Mm-hmm. But I really like that as an episode premise. Like, that's something that no show... Most shows nowadays are just all about how everything's relative, and if you try hard enough, awesome can mean just kind of nice. You know?
So
the basic premise of all shows are just like, and there's some, this is kind of fun to watch in the sense of power levels. Like, power levels are real. Everyone admits that they're real, but then this underdog can come up and take victory. And back when there were reasons for that, you know, so for like, with Goku, he was able to beat Frieza for reasons. It wasn't just because he wanted to, is because Frieza wanted to use as little power as possible and just crush everybody and killed his best friend and did a lot of stuff he shouldn't have done. He created the circumstance for his own defeat.
Yeah. If he just went all out at the beginning, he would have won.
Yeah. That's that.
And that's that.
Yep.
He should have done it.
He should have. And as time has gone on, we've gotten sort of to the outskirts And sometimes it's just dumb where everything is too relative. Like, you know, like words almost don't have to mean what they're supposed to mean. There's no real reason that person's more powerful. And this show said, no, your words have real meaning. There's old spirits like me around who are too powerful for your, you know, for this to be dealt with sometimes. Like, you got to watch it. And, it made it playful, but it was just really neat. It was totally different. This is not a modern storytelling device.
No, it's not.
And they embodied it in an old spirit.
I
want to
know more about the author.
Right! They embodied it in an old spirit. It's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant writing.
The one thing, though, is... Okay, so the two kids kind of, like, they disinherited each other.
Yes.
So, why did the parents forget about it? Because it wasn't that he wiped them out of his existence. He just made them forget about each other. Because it's like, okay, well, you two don't want to be part of each other's lives anymore.
All right, and this is another reason I like the show, because there's two answers to that. One, I'll go with the Western side first. One is it's like a curse. Uh-huh. And you can, you know, so... If you curse somebody, you know, it affects everything. And so basically, you think of her this way. She was almost like a shaman offering him up as a sacrifice. I don't need this. Done. And so a spirit is like, fine. Pluck. You don't need the parent's permission. But once he's plucked, he's plucked.
Right.
She was just the last one there, so there was a small remainder. The other side of it, which I think this is probably where the show drew it from, is the Eastern cultures, they're very much like everything you do reflects upon your family. So if you make a sin that grave, everybody gets affected. So they're very much like, if the nail sticks up, hammer it down. Yeah. Because I think it was more for that, but it works either way.
If that was the case, then like Chisei, for example, wouldn't be able to see him.
The brother?
Yeah.
I think the only reason
she wouldn't be able to tell anybody about him.
She wasn't connected beforehand. But he was...
Right.
The brother was in a space... So he's in the same space that the spirits are in, as uh-huh. I read into it. And so that's why she and Ainsworth and everybody could see her. Yeah. Like, fairies probably could, too.
Right.
But normal, everyday people, they're not in that space, so they can't. And they could have done one more thing with that, you know, an item belonging to the boy or like his favorite thing. So sort of like a totem, not a totem, but, what are those called?
Token.
A token,
black guy.
No, not a black guy. one of those things that, really means something to somebody. Anyways.
Trinket?
No, I'll think of it later.
Bugger?
No. It belonged to him, and maybe she could have had like a moment of like, this means something to me. I remember this from a dream or something.
Uh-huh.
But anyways, they left it vague, and I think that works really well for the show. And I think and the way that they did this, you know, can be interpreted both ways, and I think it's wonderfully complex.
Also, Ainsworth taking over Chisei's body was...
Yeah!
Hot.
Crazy.
Oh, it'll creep me out. Give me the heebie-jeebies.
And then he's just like, sacrifice to us.
Yeah! We require compensation to do nice things.
Right. Which he's let Chisei just do random nice tasks before for free.
He's teaching her.
I guess.
And then, I think that's it for... And
nope.
Was anything.
There's a big one missing.
Dragon no, I mean, Ball. For Ainsworth and those guys.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Nothing else for that. Oh, she used the that was the other thing. She used the fox coat to become a bear.
Yeah, I noticed that, too. What was that?
What? I can hardly bear being away from you is the only... anyway, all right. That's all.
So two episodes of Dragon Ball Super, and those two episodes we got to experience
God of Destruction Topo, probably the most intimidating villain we have had.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He was terrifying. What made him so terrifying, besides everything else, was that he was such a... He stood for justice, and that just broke.
Yeah.
So he was anti-justice. and
justice is worthless now.
Ugh.
Yeah, because all of the other villains... Yeah, all the other villains were pretty much like, you know, I'm an evil person. I'm going to fight you now.
Mm-hmm. Frieza was out for his own self-interest. Cell was out for his own self-interest.
Well, Boo didn't know a little bit of programming.
Was. Yes, but he was doing his own thing. Topo, he had a universe to save, so you could like feel that weight, and he was just freaking broken. And just
being shot in the back, literally.
Yeah, and he was also smart, because he could have destroyed them all, like just out of everything. And he's just like, "Well, I can't destroy you, but I'm gonna really rough you up." That squeeze of Frieza's head.
Just, oh my god!
We saw that twice.
Frieza got destroyed so badly.
Oh ho ho!
Oh ho ho! Even after he got destroyed the first time, he gave that laugh. It's like, I underestimated you. You think? He slapped the golden out of you.
Oh.
And then Vegeta versus Topo. Oh, man. We got to see the power of Vegeta's new level. He is able to punch the Hakai out of him.
What's a Hakai?
Destroy.
Oh.
He punched Destruction Energy. And he cleared it.
That, I think that was one of the best moments in enemy defeating so far.
Then him willing to sacrifice his life to defeat Topo with that blast. So many callbacks. And he survived and he got his shirt off.
Yeah.
He got his shirt off.
Everyone else has their, you know, their shirt comes off.
I think
off
you're a little too into the shirt being off.
No! We have never seen Vegeta fight with his shirt off.
Nor are we going to. I think he's done.
Nope, I saw the preview.
He's done.
He'll have a few more punches left. Shirtless Vegeta. Finally, we get to see him fight.
Everybody else has their shirt removed, then they power up. Vegeta does his thing, and then his shirt comes off, and is like, oh, that was pretty cool, yeah. But he's done.
It was also a nice little callback of when, So God of Destruction Topo is somewhat similar to a Majin Vegeta. And so they had like this little play. You know, it's like, I'm sacrificing everything to gain this power. Vegeta is like, I've been there. You know what? No. I'm sacrificing nothing and I'm kicking your ass. And then he got Jiren's respect.
Yeah.
Jiren being a little
Jiren,
like...
Jiren, what was that?
Damn,
he's just,
son.
Like, throwing down the throwing shade at Topo.
It's like, shit, son.
He just annihilated everything, and he's you weakling.
I respect you, Vegeta. As a sign of my gratitude, here's 2% of my power.
I hope that's not the 2%.
Everything about that last episode was just so beautiful for me. Vegeta got his moment. He didn't job.
But he will.
Well, at this point, if he gets kicked out, I'm okay with it. He had his moment.
Yeah, he did. Oh, he did.
Yeah.
So, now that Jiren's the only one left, does that mean that he's stronger than Topo?
Jiren?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He was said to be stronger than God of Destruction, so...
Well, no, they said someone in the tournament is, or maybe they specified the universe.
They specified it was Jiren.
Did they?
Yeah. At some point during the tournament, when Goku was fighting Jiren the first time around, the clown dude said it.
I think he just implied that someone from their universe was, and he was kind of, like, leading them to think that it was Jiren.
Jiren's stronger.
I don't think they ever said it. But they did say that they were training Topo to become the next God of Destruction.
Yes. So he was not full. He was God of Destruction light.
That's the best way to think of Topo.
Because he didn't go through the full training?
Yeah, and he did not take up the mantle. He just had the energy. He was not a full-on god of destruction. The clown dude did not retire. Belmond, I think his name was. And so, yeah, that pretty much covers all of that fun stuff.
I wonder what the audience would have been like had they not been removed from reality. Like, at this point, everyone would be cheering on Jiren, probably. Everyone hates Goku.
Oh. Well, but the only reason they hate Goku is because their universe gets erased.
Uh-huh. So their universe was about to be erased if they were still there watching. They'd be all the more pissed.
Oh, if they are just there waiting for the universe to get erased.
Like everyone, I think most people thought that they would wait until the end to, you know, erase it. But no, as soon as they were gone, they were just erased.
No, I didn't think that. Because why?
Why any of it?
Fair enough.
I remember that distinct moment when, this universe is eliminated, goodbye, joop. It was just sort of a surprise moment.
It was. Just like, okay then. This is happening.
Yep. I think everyone at that point, too, was thinking, okay, you know, they're gonna use the super dragon balls to stop it from happening or something like that. But, I wonder what the crowd would have been like. Oh well. Guess we'll never know.
And that wraps up this week's second infusion of the Dragon's Flow TCast. Join us next week where Nick does a magic trick.
It won't be that impressive because I don't think it'll happen.
It'll be a super awesome trick with these rings! Or he'll juggle knives.
I won't bring knives for you to juggle.
Or I'll just drink tea.
Make tea disappear.
I will turn this water into tea, and then I will make the tea disappear.
And reappear.
The three of us combined. And if you have any questions or stuff that you want us to hear, you can send it to TCast@thedragonstreasure.com.
See you next week.